Welcome to What's the 211 podcast, where we provide you with information about resources and programs in your community. 211 Maryland is a health and human service line for anyone seeking help for themselves or someone else. You can dial 211 if you need help with food, rent, or other services. Text your zip code to 898-211 or visit our website at www.211md.org. If you or someone is in a mental health crisis or needs help with substance abuse, dial 211 and press 1 to immediately be connected with someone.
Hello and welcome to What's the 211 podcast. My name is Quentin Askew, President and CEO of 211 Maryland, and I am excited to have our special guest today, Kate Fahrenholt, Executive Director of the National Alliance on Mental Illness, better known as NAMI Maryland. Hello, Kate, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. And definitely glad that you have joined us today, especially, you know, this being Mental Health Month. And, you know, just really wanted to give an opportunity for the audience to really learn about you, the great work that you're doing, and actually what NAMI Maryland is.
Well, NAMI, National Alliance on Mental Illness, is the nation's largest grassroots mental health organization. We operate on the national, state, and local level, and we are the state organization. We have a number of local affiliates and lots of volunteers at the local level. And I've been involved with NAMI for a long time because it sucked me in and has kept me because of it. It's just so effective. It's effective because we believe in the power of personal experience and individuals who are affected by mental health issues. Their families and others have been able to pull together and develop programs for themselves and to educate the community and using their lived experience. And it's just an amazing organization.
How did you actually get involved in the mental health field?
Well, I am not a clinician. I am not a mental health provider. I got involved because my sister developed schizophrenia when she was young and very young, and I was her older sister. The effect of mental illness on my family was extremely traumatic, as well as on my sister. And NAMI people helped my family find resources. And I started volunteering, and I've been involved for more than 25 years because it gives me a way to make a difference, both in my sister's life, but also to help prevent individuals and families from having to deal with the isolation and the stigma that affected my family.
Definitely. Thank you for sharing that with us. So who does NAMI serve? What's the population that NAMI serves across the state?
We consider that NAMI serves everyone, but our core stakeholders, the people we directly serve, are individuals and families directly affected by mental illness. But the fact is that 1 in 5 individuals is going to have a mental illness in any one year, and many, many families are directly affected. And then the rest of the community is affected, employees, employers, faith communities. So our secondary stakeholders is basically the rest of the community who interacts with our core individuals and families. But mental illness affects everyone. Even if it's just in terms of how it might affect your community, your neighborhood, your taxes, it affects everyone.
Yeah, and that's a great statistic, you know, 1 in 5 Americans, which is a powerful statistic, and it's definitely has affected, you know, friends and family of mine as well. How does someone actually know from your experience with NAMI that they are actually, you know, dealing with a mental health condition or, you know, something's wrong? How do individuals normally reach out with that?
Well, the difference between having a mental health issue and having a mental illness, it's a sort of a sliding scale. So people can contact us often because they are anxious, depressed, stressed, and want to get information about how to deal with that. And it might be temporary, but getting a diagnosis of a mental illness is complicated. And there's no easy test to let someone know if they actually have a mental illness, and where it might also be a reaction to some kind of physical disorder. Each mental illness has its own symptoms, but the common warning signs are excessive worrying or fear, feeling excessively sad or low, having confused thinking or problem concentrating. And well, extreme mood changes can make a difference. Self-isolation, pulling away from things that used to give you joy, inability to carry out daily activities, inability to handle daily problems or stress. So we all have to think about our mental health. We need to also recognize when we need to get more help to determine if it's a mental illness.
Yeah, and that's definitely important. I know, you know, this last year has been tough for many. You know, we witnessed several traumatic events. You know, we've had the death of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, you know, just really to name a few. And how does experience, you know, these traumatic events over and over again in the news and, you know, continuous conversations about these events, how does these normally affect, you know, our well-being?
So again, I'm not a clinician, but NAMI has certainly taught me a lot. And that's one of the things we do at NAMI is we give people education about how to define when something's wrong, et cetera, and how, what can cause mental health issues. And traumatic events are a huge trigger for mental health issues. That can include accident, it can include head trauma, assault, natural disasters, and collective racial trauma. All of these can have lasting effects on someone's personal mental health. And it can develop into a mental illness, such as a post-traumatic stress disorder. And post-traumatic stress disorder affects over 9 million people in the US. It's huge. So trauma can make a huge difference. And the murder of George Floyd last May, continued killing and mistreatment of Black and other people of color, other acts of violence, has a huge impact on the mental health of our communities. And the effect of trauma and re-traumatization are real and cannot be ignored. It's just a huge issue.
Yeah, that is true. And I'm sure, you know, there are many folks who are reaching out, you know, to NAMI in these situations and definitely for support. And so what is the experience like when someone contacts NAMI? You know, when they reach out, they talk to someone, you know, who are the individuals that are providing the support for us?
Well, we're very small. We're a small but mighty organization in terms of we have a small staff. We have a lot of volunteers, hundreds of volunteers in the community and also who work directly with us. For example, the main way that people reach us is usually, or the first place, is through our website at www.namimd.org. We have a huge number of resources we've created that are answers to common questions that we get. And we have a warm line. Our staff and others answer it. And then we will help people access, link to resources, link to local community providers, but also to our own peer support groups and education courses. So it's mainly people come in directly through our warm line and website right now during COVID. We also, when we're back in the community, have a huge number of volunteers who go out to the community and let people know and are educated to help educate people, individuals.
Okay, and NAMI Maryland is the state entity, and so are there local NAMI affiliates throughout each jurisdiction?
Well, we have 11 local affiliates in Maryland that cover most of the state, not all of it. Five of them are in our metropolitan areas, and they have a small but mighty staff and volunteers. And then the rest of the state, we have a number of local affiliates, which are actually programs of NAMI Maryland. So we are providing the coordination for the local volunteers. And we're working on bringing more than local activities, but local affiliates to the four remaining counties that we do not cover right now.
That's great. I heard you mention earlier, you know, peer support is provided. And so does that mean that individuals who are supporting others who are calling may have some lived experience or just, you know, some understanding of other individuals who are calling to be able to provide that support for them?
So our warm line is predominantly an entry point. So we'll talk to people. Yes, people answering the phone are almost entirely either individuals who have been affected by mental illness as their personal individual selves, or they are a family member. They then try to link people to local and resources, but also if they are individuals affected by mental illness or family members, they will be referred to local peer support groups and some of our local education programs that are specifically for peers and for family members. Okay. With COVID, all of our programs went online. And even after COVID, we will continue to have both in-person and online support groups and courses. So I would also just add that what's unusual, I think, about our programming is that people who contact us for help are then linked to different resources and to our peer support and education. And from those education courses and peer support groups, we then recruit people to be trained to deliver those education courses and their support groups and to become speakers to go out and educate the community. So we are very much of a peer-to-peer organization.
Wow, that's definitely a great way to keep the movement going. Mm-hmm. How has COVID, you know, I heard you say folks are working virtually, how has COVID affected, you know, your work? Has there been an increase in calls and need since COVID? Hopefully we're at the end of the tunnel, but have you seen an increase?
There's a huge increase in our calls to our helpline and our activity on our website. We did have to pivot, as I said, and to move our many peer programs, as well as our community education programs, online. So that has been a big change with COVID, and we've gotten a lot of response to those. We've gotten an increase in calls from people who would not normally have been calling us. We've been getting calls from healthcare workers and first responders and employers, because not just because they want to learn about mental illness and how to interact with people with mental illness, but because they are concerned about their own mental health. So that has been a huge increase. And we created a whole section of our website for COVID resources, and that has been just a lot of traffic. And we hope that the calls are lessened and that we are able to go back into the real world after COVID. But the fact is that given the trauma and also the effect of stress and anxiety on people, as well as the heightened awareness about the importance of mental health, we expect to continue to get a lot of calls. I just don't think there'll be as many that are at the level of urgency.
Okay. Are you working on any new projects since COVID has started to help support those across the state?
Well, as I said, we've created this whole section of our website, and we started doing webinars that were more directly related to COVID, and we record those, we create infographics, we post them on our website, we push them out. But we also have gotten involved with a state project called COVID Connect. And COVID Connect is a public website that provides free resources for Maryland residents who have been affected or concerned about COVID-19. And there's a lot of information on that site. There are testimonials from other Marylanders who've had COVID, but we also are running and training people to run peer support groups for COVID survivors. And we're doing webinars for people around issues relating to behavioral health coming out of COVID. There's a lot of things that are happening. The other thing is that, as I said, a lot of audiences that we would normally be talking to about how they should in their professional life interact with our core stakeholders, individuals and families affected by mental illness, those groups are now coming to us to talk about the mental health of their own profession. So we've been pushing out a number of resources and webinars for frontline workers, and we're working with our national in a program called Frontline Wellness. So that has been another active program, and we believe that will continue well after we are back into the real world.
That's good. And those can be found on the NAMI website or going directly to COVID Connect website. Has, you know, just being involved with NAMI and the work for so long, has there been sort of common myths around mental health of individuals sort of seeking services, or just myths of there's no help out there? Has there been things that sort of stood out to you?
Well, over the years, the stigma of mental illness has been reduced somewhat. I would say that now it's still, there is so much stigma, both public stigma but then we also absorb it ourselves. So there's self-stigma, and people do not tend to want to reach out because they are afraid to be identified as perhaps having a mental health issue. So that has improved, but it's still a huge issue. Nobody wants to be called crazy or to think that, oh, if I have a mental illness, people are going to think that I'm going to commit a violent crime. You know, things like that that are myths. I mean, people with mental illness, like my sister, are much more likely to be the victim of a crime, a violent crime, than to commit it. But there are just a lot of myths out there. And one of the things we do is to try to change people's understanding so that they will not only be supportive of the people around them and make it safe for people to share, but also so that people will seek help when they need it and before things become a crisis.
Definitely important. We know, you know, yourself and NAMI has been extremely, you know, active in advocacy around different policies to address mental health. We know, you know, one of your priorities in 2021 was access to effective services throughout all stages of life. Why was that something important to NAMI?
So mental illness is usually first observed in the teen years through age 25, 30 at the latest. That's when most mental illness symptoms are observed. That does not mean that they are addressed right away, but people can be affected by mental illness at any time, anywhere from very young to the last stages of life. And we want to make sure that anyone who is affected by mental illness at any time gets into effective treatment as soon as their illness strikes, so that they can be on the road to recovery sooner. And the average delay between diagnosis and treatment for mental illness is 11 years. That means people who are affected are not getting the necessary supports when they need them the most. And that's partly because of stigma and self-stigma, but it's also because there's a lack of in-network community behavioral health providers. There's a routine denials of insurance coverage. There's many different barriers once somebody has actually sought treatment. So it's hard. We want people to recognize that they have something, an issue, and then we advocate to make sure that they have access to effective treatment. And there are a lot of changes in policies we want to see happen. We've been working on them for years, and Maryland is doing better, but we need to improve treatment. We need to increase access across the state. And we also need to make sure that there's early intervention and ongoing access to the array of services that people need to stay in recovery.
Yeah, that's definitely a great point. And we know, you know, all the work that NAMI does in the community with the peer support groups. NAMI is a nonprofit 501c3 organization. So what other partners do you work with to help support your mission?
Well, we have a full-time staff of 7, and we have hundreds of volunteers, but we rely on volunteers and peers who become volunteers and partnerships and organizations like 211 Maryland to expand our outreach, to ensure that our message of peer-led support and education and advocacy reaches everyone in Maryland who's affected. And right now we are sitting on more than 70 different coalitions and committees. Wow. In order to ensure the voice of our stakeholders is heard. And we have partnerships with the American Foundation of Suicide Prevention, Community Behavioral Health Association of Maryland, Law Enforcement Action Partnership, Every Mind, We Work for Health, a lot of work with the veterans organizations, the military organizations, the state, various agencies, and local providers of every sort, and many, many, many faith communities.
Okay. And so, you know, we know that, you know, being a nonprofit, it takes, you know, funding to help support a lot of the work that you do. And so how for individuals who are interested in supporting NAMI, how can someone do that?
We're always grateful for support from our community, and anyone who's interested in learning about how they can get involved should contact us at info at NAMIMD.org. We have many ways to support our programs. Many of them are delivered by volunteers and helped be pushed out by our partners. But our funding comes from grants and a large part from individual donations. We have an annual walk in the month of May. It's a virtual walk this year. It's very exciting. We have various, I would say the average, our average donation is about $75. And so everybody, the community is what helps us sustain ourselves.
Great. And so, you know, I know we just a couple additional questions. I know you mentioned the local affiliates that you have that are throughout the local jurisdiction. And so if someone is interested in, I understand they have a local NAMI in their community, they would just really find that from their website, from your NAMI Maryland website.
Yeah, I mean, the best way actually is probably to go onto our website, again, www.namimd.org. You can look to see something, you can link to affiliates, but you can also contact us through the website and just ask, because we can then connect you with whatever's happening in your local community. So we'd love to do that.
So are there any social media handles, you know, that NAMI has, if folks can find you on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all the other social media?
Yeah, we are on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and I believe they all are handles that say at NAMI Maryland spelled out, but we can give you that information. Also on our website, there are links to all of our social media channels.
And so, you know, as things, again, as we're coming down to the hopefully to the wire with COVID and how that has changed, you know, our worlds for tremendously, where do you see, you know, the support for mental health and, you know, the need for mental health? Where do you see or hope things will go? What is your wish that you would hope to see?
Well, I know that coming out of COVID, unfortunately, we are going to have much more need for behavioral health resources than we had going in because of trauma, because of the effect of actually the virus on that's COVID survivors have a much higher rate of being diagnosed with a mental illness. So we're going to be coming out of COVID with a much greater need, but I think we are also coming out of COVID with a much higher awareness and community dedication to making sure that people are taken care of. I hope that translates into us being willing to spend the money and raise our voices to make sure that the services are there.
Yeah, and we definitely hope. And so, you know, Kate, I want to be able just to thank you again for coming on. Thank you for all the great work that NAMI is doing and continue to do, especially during the pandemic. And we definitely hope that, you know, you continue to get the support that you need. And we will definitely, too, in Maryland, be supporting all the work that you do.
We really appreciate the existence of and the work of 211. And we are so proud to be part of your network.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks again for coming on.
Thank you for listening and subscribing to What's the 211 podcast. We are here for you 24/7, 365 days a year, simply by calling 211. Also connect with us on Facebook and Twitter at 211 Maryland or at dragondigitalradio.podbean.com.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.